And that's what boxing's about. It's not just, you know, punching on in the ring. It's a chess game. When I made it to the Australian national team to represent Australia at the Commonwealth Games, no one knew who I was. Oh, there's been many times that I've almost given up. Like, I actually struggled with an eating disorder.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم Welcome to the Safi Bros podcast Alhamdulillah we are available on all podcast platforms and of course on YouTube every second Friday at 3 p.m. If you are listening on the audio platforms please please make sure to follow and give us a rating and if you're enjoying the episode on YouTube please subscribe as it helps our content to reach more people and allows you to get each episode as soon as it releases and of course expands our reach to more international renowned speakers Alhamdulillah we are today gathered with an amazing person who's been overseas and mashallah represented this country. We are honored to be joined by Tina Rahimi, a trailblazer in the world of boxing, Australian first female Muslim boxer to represent the country at international stage. Welcome, Tina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your success story.
Yep.
Alhamdulillah, we are absolutely honored to have you on the episode. Mashallah, tell us about Tina. Who is Tina?
Tina. I don't know. I guess you just got to ask me what you want to hear. But at this stage, I'm an Olympian. Tina Rahimi, the Olympian. That's what I'm known for. The TikToker, the Olympian. Yeah, but you just got to ask me and I'll start talking.
take us through the journey. A lot of people think because you're from Lakemba. Or Bankstown, sorry.
Okay.
they think you're Lebo. You're not Lebanese. Let's start there. So tell me, how did you end up in Australia? Mum, dad? Let's take us through the journey.
I was born and raised in Australia. Me and my three sisters. My dad came to Australia when he was, I think, 17 years old. And he was a wrestler as well. So,
mashallah.
He came here through wrestling. So he was previously in like Denmark and a few other countries, like in Europe, competing all over Europe. And then he got his visa to come to Australia through sports. He's represented Australia multiple times as well, like Australian champion.
In the Olympics?
He was actually supposed to go to the Olympics. I think it was the Barcelona Olympics. But he never had any funding or anything to go. It was quite interesting because like obviously I've made it to the Olympics and he's, you know, it was his dream to go to the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games, but he never got there because funding to do so.
Mum's what nationality is your mum?
My mum's we're Iranian.
Mum's Iranian.
Yeah.
And dad was Iranian.
Iranian Kurd.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he came here to do wrestling and found mum.
No, he was actually with he got with an Aussie lady before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Before my mum. My mum's actually came to Australia from Iran. I think they met like over the phone. Like I think my mum's friend my dad's sister introduced my mum and dad together. This is, I don't even know if this is true, but from what I've heard, because mum and dad aren't together anymore.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I know that, my dad was with the Aussie lady before and I have a half brother. Yeah.
So you grew up in Sydney all your life?
Yeah, so I grew up in Rydalmere. So that's like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the suburbs, but it's like Parramatta. I think everyone knows Parramatta.
Yeah,
that's where I grew up. Still Western Sydney. Grew up there and then.
Which school? Yeah, which high school?
MacArthur Girls High School in Parramatta.
All girls?
Yeah. Well, I was going to a co-ed school and then I remember my sister wasn't really happy with our school and then she's like, oh, I want to move schools. And then my dad.
So where are you and the sister?
I'm the middle child. And we're
all
1 year apart.
Oh, my gosh, no one listens to you.
Yeah. We're actually all 1 year apart. Like and my younger sister are 1 year, 1 year and 1 month, and me and my older sister are 1 year and 6 months. My mum just, went hard.
So mum worked hard and looked after all three of you.
We grew up with my dad.
Is that where you got your sports influence, really?
Not really, actually. It's crazy to say because it was my dad was obviously always training. He was always he wasn't competing or anything. Obviously, he was a bit older at the time we were living with him, but he was still always eat clean and always have clean. He was always just training still.
Yeah.
But he would sometimes take us to the park, and he did put us in sports. So he put me in soccer, and I wanted to do soccer, and he put both my sisters in swimming. I was like the tomboy in my family. I don't want to do swimming. I want to do soccer. So, but it was never like martial arts, nothing to do with martial arts. I did love arm wrestling and I was a bit aggressive growing up, but it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, I want to do boxing or I want to do wrestling. It was never in my intention or in my mind to even like try it out. Yeah.
Where did you get that from? Like your...
My strength?
Still staunchness. Because you can say like, mashallah, you're quite a staunch person. Yeah.
Mashallah, yeah. It's the area. No,
it was the Kemba.
It was Pakistan. No, actually. No, I think, I don't know. I think growing up with my dad, maybe. I think, yeah, so yeah, we're pretty much from 12 years old. We're living with my dad.
That would have shaped you.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we pretty much learned everything ourselves, you know, how to cook, how to clean. Like, you know, my dad was very like particular, like he was very strict, like, you know, women have to learn how to, you know, you got to do the washing, you've got to do this. And it's like, we were so young. Like if there was like a dish in the sink.
And mum wasn't in the picture?
Not at that time, no.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. So you lived with dad for how many years?
I was living with dad until I was 19 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your teenage years with your dad?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and my sisters. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So tell us, how did you spark the sort of, what sparked you into boxing?
It was honestly like, how do I get into this?
That's okay.
It was just a random like decision for me to start doing something in fitness. So I wanted to obviously get fit and, you know, try something new. And I was going at the gym at the time, and not many people know this, so I'll just share it because, I mean, it's not really something that I try to hide, but I was religiously, like Islamically married for some time as well. So with a Lebanese man. Okay. So this is why I know my Arabic.
Bad choice.
You know, yeah.
Bad choice.
No, actually, I like Lebanese people.
The whole of Bankstown, Lekemba is going to be trouble now.
I was married at the time. And, I found out about these, like, women's classes as well. And I was gaining weight. You know what happens when you first, like, get married. Mm. And, you just eat a lot. And I was
honeymoon
always,
period.
Yeah, I was always skinny. Like, growing up, I was always slim. And, I used to be... People used to comment, like, she's so skinny. That's what I was known for, you know? And then I started to gain weight because all I wanted to do was eat, you know? And my ex-husband, he was like a big boy as well, you know? Like he'd introduced me to like good sweets and like good food and, you know, Lebos and his mum always cooking. Like, you know, eat. I'm like, oh, you know, the wada anib and, you
know, everything.
Everything, yeah.
We converted you, didn't we? Yeah. We made you into Lebo.
Pretty much. I think there's more Lebo in me than Iranian.
It's amazing, yeah. SubhanAllah, like, and it's amazing. Like, I've got many friends, SubhanAllah, that it's amazing when one of the partners is a big eater.
Yeah.
And the other partner becomes a big eater just because, like you're racing for the food.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, I never had a sweet tooth until I met him. I feel like, and obviously when I started boxing as well, and you start to like restrict yourself and you start to diet, then you crave those things even more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I remember just I wanted to get into fitness. I was like, oh, I can't, you know, let myself go. And, you know, I didn't like looking at myself putting on weight. So that's when I started, like, I started women's classes to start with. I just wanted to do, I wanted to try it out. Yeah. And I heard about these classes and I was going to the gym with one of my friends. And I was like, oh, you know what, try these classes with me. And then we joined and I literally haven't looked back since.
Were they like, boxing classes?
There were the boxing classes. And then, so there was women's only at the time, but, I was like very competitive even in that class. Mm. And my ex was actually doing boxing at the time as well. He wasn't like into it obviously as I was, but he was like, he was actually encouraging as well. Like, you should try the boxing classes. Like, it would be good. He goes, you'd be good at it. Like, I think he just knew from my, just how I am. It's like, you should start those boxing classes. Anyways, I started from there and, I just kept getting better and better. And then there was like a specific fighters class. And there was another Scarfy girl, who was doing boxing at the time as well. And she was competing. And I was looking at her, I was like, wow, like you wear the hijab and you're, you know, competing as well. And I got inspired by her too. And I was like, I want to join like the classes that you're doing. It was like specific for fighters. And then I joined the classes with her and, I was like sparring them. I was sparring like teen boys and I could cop a punch and I could, you know, I wouldn't have no fear. Like, I could just keep coming forward.
What was it about you that had that? Like,
I just have I just had heart. Like, you know, I just didn't have any fear. Like, you know, you block a punch, I'll block it. Like, and then I just want to keep coming at you. Like, I just had that drive where I was like, oh, okay, well, you just hit me. I just want to, I want to hit you back.
SubhanAllah. Do you know what I mean? How long was that transition from you starting boxing to actually professionally fighting?
Well, I had my first fight like 6 months after I started boxing. Yeah.
Inshallah, you must have been talented then, huh?
Yeah, I was. Even the coach was telling me and everyone, even who I used to spar, I had a lot of talent.
So like, you were naturally
talented, and I would spar the girls that had even had fights before, and I wasn't scared. Like, I would spar heavier girls, I would spar like young teen boys, you know, the 14, 15. They don't have all their power, but they were still like, you know, they'll still go hard at you. And
where do you think
that
comes from, that non-fear? Like,
I think probably from my dad. I reckon, because, you know, I think combat sports runs in the family. Like, not just my dad, like my uncles, wrestlers as well. My grandfather as well, he did some sport. I don't even know what it is. It's like some ancient Iranian sport.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it was like something to do with like swinging and something in the air. It was like an Iranian sport. I've never heard of it, but I remember like my dad telling us about it.
Oh, wow.
So like it runs in the family.
It runs in the family. So you passed the baton, huh?
Yeah. I was always strong. Like even in school, I always say this story, but I always used to arm wrestle all the girls.
Wow.
All the girls, I'll beat them all. Like whoever it was, if a girl was like...
I didn't think the girls arm wrestled.
No, yeah, me, I did. Like, do an arm wrestle? I always used to challenge people for an arm wrestle.
Even
when I was like in year seven, when I used to go to a co-ed school, I used to arm wrestle like the boys in my year, and I used to beat them all.
Wow.
I'm like, what the hell?
There's the Olympian, she beat me.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, do you want to, yeah, obviously, like now, we won't go there, I wouldn't bother. But yeah, it was, always had that natural strength.
So tell us about you getting into boxing and then getting into a fight. Did you focus on training a lot? Was it a rigorous training, or was it came a lot naturally that you didn't need as much training or?
No, I definitely, you definitely need to be training. Like, I think I had a really good coach as well at the time, and he really pushed us to all, like, you know, go for runs together. And, it was a lot of sparring and just training hard. But it was like, you know, I just had the drive, I think, within me. Like, I just wanted to keep getting better. So it was like, with boxing, you're learning new moves, and it's very technical, you know, with any sport. And it's like, for me, it was, I just fell in love with it. And every day I was like, oh, I need to perfect my cross. I need to perfect my hook. And it just became addictive, like really addictive. Like, that's the only thing that would go through my mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like every day I'd be like, I'll be on YouTube searching videos. How do I perfect the cross? How do I do a hook? And I'll be looking at, I think I've watched every single video on YouTube on how to like, perfect my skills. I was like, how to do a roll. Like, I'd want to always be one step ahead, even though when I'm not at training, it became like really obsessive where I just wanted to do well. And I think it really hit me after my first fight as well. After my first fight, I felt really unfit. Like, I felt like I wasn't doing enough. And then that's
how was your first fight? Like, what happened?
I won, and I think I made a big statement in my first fight. A lot of people that saw me went to my coach and was like, wow, like, that girl's got real talent. They're like, she's very talented. That's what that was like the word that was going around.
Did that get you sort of really motivated?
Yeah, it did. And it's like, my coach was a type that he wouldn't give you compliments. So you know how some people
who was your coach?
He was from Sydney Fight Gym. Shadi Shabib. I don't know if you've heard of him. That was my first coach. And he was like, he was the type that he wouldn't give you compliments or, like, you know, to make you grow ahead. So he would, if only when it's like necessary in your fight, he'll chew you up. Like,
did he manage you as well? Is that the way it works? Like,
no, well, it's because when you're a beginner, like, it's different. Like, it's not, you don't have a manager and all that stuff. Like, and it's not a professional fight. It's your first amateur fight. Like, you know, you're jumping and you've done the work and you match with someone the same skill level as you.
Okay.
It's not.
How old were you then?
Maybe I just turned, before I turned 22, like a month before I turned 22, I had my first
fight. So you've been boxing for over 10 years now?
7 years.
7 years, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Sorry,
I'm not 31 yet, okay?
Sorry. Amazing, amazing.
Oh, wow. So you went through that. So the question is, did you look up to anybody that you, like you said, you watch a lot of YouTube, was there anybody that you looked up to and saw, like, other females or other male boxers that you saw their form or their technique that you sort of wanted to, it inspired you or want to replicate or anything
I
like that?
I think every box is like that. You look at fighters, you know, you've got like Canelo, Floyd Mayweather, even though I hate him right now because we don't want to go there. Yeah. But I used to look at his videos a lot. I'm like, oh, you know, I need to like learn how to do this. And I used to just watch fights and just learn the moves that they did. And then I'll try to practice that into sparring. So if I see like a good jab, or like a good role, I'm like, oh, he did this, or I need to practice this now because it seems like something that works. So, I just used to study it a lot. Like, and that's what boxing's about. It's not just, you know, punching on in the ring. It's it's a chess game. It's literally a chess game, you know.
Sure.
It's you got to figure the person out, and you got to, you know, you got to do different moves to lure them in, and it's actually complicated, and it's, you know, if someone could just sit and actually fight me, I would win, okay? Because I'm actually extremely strong, you know, but when they're smart and then they move around and they make me look stupid and, you know, they don't try to like engage too much, they win the fight because it's all about using your brain, you know, you got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any complications at school that you had to?
No, I'm genuinely a very nice person. I feel like I'm, No. I remember one time in year seven, my friend got into a fight with another girl, and then I kind of like, I was like, oh, she pushed my friend. And then I was like, and then I pushed her, and then me and her like grabbed each other's hair and we're on the floor, but it wasn't like my fight. Like, I think I was a pretty nice person. I don't think I'm, I think I'm not the type that will get into like a fight.
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
So now you've been training for over 7 years boxing. How many fights have you had in total?
I've had 42 fights now.
42. Yeah. And how many you've won? How many you've lost?
I think I've had 28 wins and the rest losses. But all my losses are pretty much international, and international level is, it's not like a professional fight. Like when you're in the amateurs, like your record doesn't matter. Like once you turn professional, then you're like, you know, when I win my fight, I'll be like 1-0 again. Do you know what I mean? When the amateurs, like it doesn't matter at all. And competing at like high performance, like international, national level, it's a different
world.
Yeah, different world.
So now you've got an agent, obviously, and things like that, or at the moment?
But not for boxing. So I've got an agent that deals with just like just anything like brand deals with like even that Muslim agenda, like they handle all my emails and I don't have to deal
when did you realize that you need to go online and start because mashallah you know
I was never really online, like I didn't really like it and I just thought like, you know, I don't want to post too much online, I want to stay low key. But I found that, you know, if I wanted to build a career out of this, and we don't get paid as boxers, like from the government, like everything's self-funded. Do you know what I mean? Like even though we get our flights and accommodation and stuff paid for when we travel, everything else is like how am I supposed to make money if I'm traveling and trying to box? Do you know what I mean? We didn't get anything like that. So I knew like for myself, I needed to post videos and like, you know, put myself out there and, so brands can reach out to me and, you know, work with me. And that's where I've sort of had my success and, you know, people seeing me, and especially like for me and like, you know, being like the first hijabi and, you know, they like a lot of brands know that I'm a role model and they want to, you know, they let a lot of people look up to me and stuff. So they want to sort of like showcase me with their brands. So that's where I get a lot of my.
And how long have you been doing that for?
I think after the Commonwealth Games. So when I did go to the Commonwealth Games, I did win bronze. So I feel like I got a lot of opportunities and stuff after that as well.
Okay.
But I only got my agent earlier.
What do you win? What, like you won bronze? What monetary wise?
You don't even
Big
win
Mac
anything.
Meal or Burgies
no.
meal.
The thing is, if you're because I literally came out of nowhere when I made it to the Australian national team to represent Australia at the Commonwealth Games. I literally no one knew who I was. It was after COVID as well. So when I won, it was like a complete shock to everyone. So I wasn't even, it's called categorization. So you're not even categorized. Like you're not even, so every year you get categorized to see what level you're sitting at. And then depending on that, you get a certain amount of money. So because I wasn't categorized, because I literally came out of nowhere, and then the assessment again is usually at the end of the year. So because I did the Commonwealth Games during the year, I didn't even get anything for winning a medal.
Wow.
But I think usually you make like $500, which is like nothing.
Are you serious? For
representing your country. It's pretty insane. Like even, sports people don't get any money. Like so tough. Yeah.
That's why now boxing's gone towards like, you know, those, you know, fights like Tyson and what's called is fighting just recently.
When you're professional, but you do get money because it's on TV. Like for me, it's like national level, like amateurs, it's not televised unless you're going to like Olympics and the Commonwealth Games. Like, no, you're not going to get many sponsors because they're not going to get
coverage.
They're not going to get coverage. Like, you know, with pros, like if I was to turn pro now, I'd get a lot of sponsors wanting to be on my shirt and on my, you know, shorts and stuff because they know that's going to be on TV. They know I've got like a following. Do you know what I mean? So it's like it would be easier. But for like a lot of people, like in the amateurs, they've got to make their own money to even, you know, achieve their dreams, which is really hard. Like so many people on my team, like they're working full time, like, you know, and then, and it's hard for them because every time they travel, like if they do PTs, like that's the only proper job that they can do. They lose their client base and then they, you know, they're like literally living off nothing. Like they go overseas broke, trying to achieve.
Just to represent your country.
Yeah. Trying to win these fights and then you can make it to like things like the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games and. And like I went through that as well before I got, you know, before I built a name for myself and like, you know, I felt like I hustled a lot to get sponsors. Like I didn't stop at
I'm not taking no for an answer.
No, honestly, like I did. Like I got rejected so many times. Like people won't even respond to my email, or to my DMs. Like they're like, oh, what is she gonna give to us? You know what I mean? But I did find like good companies that, you know, stuck by me and like they've seen my fights. So they were like boxing fans, and then that's how I got my sponsorships from. Like, I had a sponsor who was supporting me for 2 years since the Commonwealth Games, and honestly, like for people like that,
who would that be?
It was Ray White Commercial.
Oh wow!
So they're in Ray White Commercial, Western Sydney. So they were like very, very good, and they're not even Muslim as well, which was very interesting because that they gave me the most support.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And like they were like every time
it's
I asked them.
It's interesting. Yeah. Our community only supports when you're at the top.
Oh yeah, trust me. Trust me. I had people reaching out to me like a few days before my fight at the Olympics. Like, oh, because I'd obviously repost my sponsorship and I'm like, oh, thank you to these people for sponsoring me. And like that's the time that, you know, people are tuning into your account. So like their name goes out more and because people, you know, are seeing your account
and then they're like,
oh, hey, Sis, like, can we sponsor you? I'm like, you want to reach out 2 days before, but when I'm like trying to like, you know, do 50 posts about, oh, who wants to sponsor me? Who wants to sponsor me? No one reaches out.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Can you share with us like undoubtedly our growth sometimes isn't like this. And, you know, some of us, you know, will, there are ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to share maybe, you know, one of the harder moments that you had, you know, in your boxing career, you know, as a female, as a Muslim, you know,
haram,
dark moments did you have?
Yeah.
Where you sort of, you know, was there a time that you almost gave up?
Oh, there's been many times that I've almost given up. Like it's many, many times, especially like, I think like being in a sport like boxing, you've got to make weight to compete, you know, like it's not just like I can compete at my weight, you know, I have to lose weight. I have to be disciplined. I have to, you know, be on a certain diet. And there's been times where I've had to lose like 4 kilos in a week, which is not normal in an amateur, for a woman as well, you know, as well, especially if you're competing a few days in a row.
Yes.
So I feel like, and with that, I actually struggled with an eating disorder because I couldn't, like I had no control over the food I was eating because it was like the only thing that was, you know, going through my mind at the time because, you know, you're restricting yourself and that's all the only thing that was going through my mind was like food. And then I didn't think I needed help. Like I was like, you know, I'm trying to cut weight and, I couldn't do it. I literally, there was a stage I was living by myself at a time and I think I just went through depression and like the only thing I think I turned to was food, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, you know, as ridiculous as this sounds, because we don't, like we're Muslims, we're not going to turn to drugs and alcohol and like you need something to like, you know. And I always thought like, oh, people that I'm like, you know, when people like, you know, are big or like you think, oh, why don't you just eat healthy and lose weight?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's how I used to think. And honestly, when I struggled with this, I was like, I never again did I say anything to a bigger person. I was like, I'll never, like, I understand it now. Like, I was like, and like, mental health is massive. You know what I mean? It's actually huge. And I never understood. I'm like, just go to the gym, like, lose some weight.
It's so easy to just.
Yeah, it's just so easy to say that. And now I'm actually like, I feel some compassion. Like, I feel some, like, you know, because I honestly, it was very hard for me to, like, I couldn't even have peanut butter at home. Like peanut butter, like wheat bix. Like I'll go into
How long did they go for? And what snapped you out of it? What things have you done?
Okay,
so for our audience sakes, inshallah, maybe.
So I think because I was in, like, I went to the Commonwealth Games, and then because I was always training hard and you know, always competing, and I never really needed to cut much weight, you know, and I was always very disciplined, very lean. Like I would only eat very, very clean. Like you wouldn't see me having a cheat meal. That's how good I was.
Wow.
After the Commonwealth Games, I was on such a high and I was like, I'm going to eat whatever I want. Like I went to Paris and I stayed in London. I stayed back because the Commonwealth Games was in Birmingham. So I was like, I'll do a bit of travel. And then I just started to eat whatever I wanted. And it was like very odd for me to do that because I wasn't the type of person that, you know.
Pasta.
I just tried everything, croissants, everything. I think I gained like 7 kilos when I got back.
Wow.
Yeah, I gained, yeah.
In how long?
In a month, I think.
Wow.
I'm in the same boat right now. I'm like, I'm literally in the same boat. Yeah. And then when you mentally, when you think about you know, I've never been at that way. And like, you know, you always see yourself lean and then you get, you know, comments from people saying, oh, like you've put on weight, you feel very insecure.
Yeah.
You know, there was times where I wouldn't even leave the house because I was so scared what people would think. And then they would think that I've put on weight or I had literally no social life. You wouldn't see me going out because I knew if I went out, I would want to go eat. So I just avoided all social interactions, any gatherings. And I was like, I wouldn't even see my sisters. Like,
wow.
And my mum was living with them at the time as well. Because my mum was originally like from Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, she was living in Melbourne.
She's half Melbournean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not originally from Melbourne. Like she's been living here. Well, she was living here for a lot of years.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't even visit them because I knew I would go to their house and all I wanted to do was eat. You know, and I would go into the first thing I would do is go into the wardrobe. Like I struggled a lot with that mental health. And I was like, I didn't even want to like box anymore. I was like, how am I going to compete at 57 again? At that time I was 64 kilos and I knew I had to compete and make weight again at 57 kilos. It was so hard because I ended up doing it. I was competing for the Australian Championships. It was like 2 months after 3 months after, I think, I got back from the Commonwealth Games. And I still wanted to compete. I still had that, you know, I had that drive. I was like, you know, I'm not finished yet. Like I wanted to go to the Olympics, you know.
Amazing.
And I was like, I need to go to this Australian Championships. I honestly had no control over the food. I remember even once I weighed in, I hit the sauna trying to cut the weight and like depressed, crying for a few days. And I still couldn't like stop myself from eating. Do you know what I mean? It's too complicated. You do like a low residue diet where you're eating like low fiber foods, which helps your gut empty out.
Yeah.
So you do stuff like that. But even that, like the last day I had to go into the sauna, lose like 2 kilos just to make weight for the fight. And it was very draining mentally and obviously.
That's those changes drain you physically, mentally and spiritually, subhanAllah.
Yeah, honestly, like you think, and when I jumped in the ring and that was all that was going through my head, like, oh, like I just went into the sauna for 2 hours. I dehydrated myself. I got out and I felt like I was going to faint. Do you know what I mean? Like one of the coaches that was there is like, I don't think you should, you know, I don't think you should compete because are you okay? Like you look very off, you're very dizzy. And the thing is with that sauna, it was, I think we were in Adelaide. It was a mixed sauna as well. So I had to go in with full clothes, you know? And I was already like, you know, in the sauna, everyone goes in like, you know, with the bikini and like, obviously for me to lose that extra few kilos, you know, I had to.
People don't understand that how much like to really hit those kind of, you know, highs, you have to give up a lot. I think they don't understand.
Take us through how hard it is to go, like be an Olympic. Like how hard is that journey?
To get to an Olympian,
Because not a lot of people, But what take us through the process of, you know, what kind of challenges, what kind of competitions that need to be done. Yeah. Like I'm intrigued because I don't really know much.
So basically like for myself, obviously I need to become a state champion. So I need to be the best in New South Wales. So they run a competition, obviously get the whoever's in your division to compete in New South Wales. And then once you're the best, then you go to nationals.
So you got to beat everyone
in New South Wales.
You have to beat them.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So you win that and they usually take two people. So they take the A and the B. So the whoever won and then whoever came second place. So they still give them a chance.
So where'd you go in that?
I'm always the A. Yeah, sorry.
Triple A.
I haven't, no one's beaten me. I think I've had two losses in Australia. Yeah. Oh, since, and that was like my first, second and third fight. I haven't been, I've been pretty much undefeated for 6 years in Australia.
I love that. You should have that as a slogan.
Yeah, never undefeated in Australia. And one of the girls that I fought, I rematched her and I beat her. So, yeah. And then the other fight was like split decision. So it was like very close, could have gone either way. Mashallah. So it was like good fights, you know.
So state, then what happens?
Yep, so you go to state and then you go to the Australian Championships. So two from each state. So you've got, you know, Queensland.
A and B's.
Yeah, A and B's. And then you win that, and that's how I qualified for the Commonwealth Games. So I had four fights in 4 days in a row.
Wow.
And I did, and this is another interesting story. I had I fully tore the ligament in my shoulder for this competition on the first day, where no one even knew who I was. Honestly, this is the competition that I came in.
Were you
the
only hijabi?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was in complete shock. Like at that stage, I wasn't really around non-Muslims. So I felt like really, everyone's looking at me and like, you know, I felt really like, very uncomfortable, and I was very quiet. You know, I didn't speak to anyone. I knew who everyone was, but no one knew who I was, because I just won the New South Wales, you know, championships. And then I'm going to nationals, of my first nationals.
Wow.
You know, everyone thinks, oh, like she's just another person.
Did you take your sisters or mum with you?
No, I went with my coach. And that was my new coach at Brotherhood Boxing Good. He was one of the coaches for the New South Wales team. So he was just not there for me. Was there? I don't know if you guys heard of Taha Ahmed. He's another. He was actually another Muslim, like as well, and which people were shocked because he ended up winning as well. So me and
Mashallah.
Him, yeah, it was quite interesting. So
from Sydney as well.
Yeah, he's from Sydney too.
Okay.
He lives in Dubai now and he's turning professional. Like he's got an interesting
Mashallah.
Story too.
Mashallah. Maybe we'll get to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's. I think he's living in Dubai now. But anyway, so yeah, I wasn't really around that. You know, a lot of non-Muslims. So I really felt like. Different and, you know, obviously, like, I feel like I really stood out.
Did you get any racism there? Did you feel any?
No, but
you speak very good English.
No one's like that. But, you know, I think everyone in the boxing community is pretty, like, they're pretty diverse.
Muhammad
like,
Ali's done that
for
us. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, they're not, for me, I don't let that stuff get to me. I just, you know, I just be myself. But I did feel like, oh, maybe the judges won't. You know, go for me because I'm, you know, I wear the hijab and there was no hype around me back then as well, you know.
SubhanAllah.
There was like, oh, people have heard of me. Oh, that, you know, that girl seems pretty good. She just won nationals in she just won state champs. Like, but, I wasn't the favorite. You know, I was nothing near the favorite to win. So it came to like complete shock when I did. But the first day I competed, I fully tore the ligament in my shoulder where I couldn't even lift my arm.
Wow.
Honestly, like I couldn't like... I'm telling you, like when I was driving back to my hotel, like even with the car moving, my shoulder would be in like intense pain. Like I was like, I don't know how I'm going to compete another 3 days in a row, you know?
And you beat everyone with a torn
ligament. I beat everyone with a torn ligament. And I was like crying. I was honestly crying myself to sleep. I was like, how am I going to win?
Any painkillers or anything?
I think I took Voltaren. Yep. And we had a physio on site as well.
Wow.
So she was looking at my shoulder and she was like, she was like very concerned as well. And but I was like, I need to win this. You know, it was very important for me to win. And at that time as well, like I separated from my partner too, like before that, a few months back. So I felt like it was like something that was driving me to, you know.
So all at once.
Yeah, yeah, everything was happening. Like when I won state titles, like me and my ex were like separated. And like, so I feel like everything that led to this moment, do you know what I mean? So yeah. I felt like that journey.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, so you had everything riding on it.
Yeah. So,
I told you so.
Yeah, because I won the state champs and I just had that drive. I think obviously you go through, you get upset, you get depressed, you know. So so I was just like, I feel like boxing really kept me going. Like it just kept me like, it gave me something to focus on and something, it just gave me that drive and it just made me feel good.
Undoubtedly.
It just had a goal for me to reach and I knew I was good at it. And I was like, you know, why don't I just try this out? And
amazing.
Yeah, I ended up winning.
So then you did the Commonwealth Games because does A and B go to Commonwealth Games?
No, you have to win. So A and B go to the state championships and then whoever wins.
A goes.
Yeah, so I became, of course. Oh, so
we don't have a backup plan.
No.
So if something happens to you, we don't have a backup plan?
I think they could potentially like take B if I like couldn't go. I don't think so actually. No, they can't because you got to qualify.
Oh, okay.
No one would go.
So then you got qualified for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
You went there and you won
bronze. At first I went to the World Championships actually. So that was my first international tournament. ever. Okay. So I never competed.
So if you win Australia, you have to go to the World Tournament or no?
Because it was the same qualifier. So that was on the same year. So that was in Turkey.
Oh, wow.
So I traveled to Turkey. I was so confident. I was like, I'm going to beat everyone. Like, I don't think I've ever been that confident. And I got humbled in the ring. Oh. I got so humbled. Like, I didn't win. I didn't lose, like, dramatically. It was a very close fight. So it was a split decision once again. Wow. Could have gone either way. Colombia. Wow. Yeah, so she was a former Olympian as well. So she went to the last Olympics. So I was like, yeah, but I had so much confidence because I was like, you know, I just beat everyone in Australia and there's levels to it overseas. Like,
wow. What's the difference between our Australian standards and international? What would you
honestly,
say?
Honestly, like, I will fight anyone in Australia today, any female in my weight division. I wouldn't even hesitate. Like, I'll fight any professional fighter in Australia. Most of them I've fought in the amateurs and they're all professional. Wow. Now, you know, doing well for themselves. And I'm like, if I was to turn professional, I'll fight anyone. And you can speak to Billy Dibb. He even said, like, if you turn pro, like, you know, you fight anyone.
Have you wanted to go pro?
I don't know if that's something I want to do. I think.
Can you reveal that on the Safi Birds podcast? Yeah. Maybe we'll sponsor you. There's a sponsorship pack.
Okay. I just don't know. I think it's when you turn pro, there's a lot of commitment to it as well. And I don't know if I like I just like Commonwealth Games. I like Olympics. I feel like there's actual true spirit and true sport into that. Like, I feel like when you're turning pro, it's more like a business. Yeah. It's more like, oh, you know, being on TV, like, you know, I'm the best. I get to choose who I want to fight. You know, my manager picks who I want to fight. Like, if I don't like, if I think that you might potentially lose, you're not fighting that person. You know, we build up your record. We get you up to 19-0. Yeah. And then you can fight this person. You know, it's like it's a business. Mm. Whereas with amateurs, you fight whoever, whenever, and like it's the best in the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So it's a sport. It's the real sport, the boxing. 100%.
Yeah.
There's no money in reality.
Yeah,
that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, anyone can turn professional, but not everyone can go to the Olympics. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, all these people that are professional, like, they were dying. You know, half of them have died and tried to qualify for the Olympics. So they couldn't make it. So what they do, they turn professional and they build their record.
So somebody being a world-class fighter like Muhammad Ali and also winning the Olympics is just something that's wow.
Yeah, of course. And he was an Olympian as well. Yeah, exactly.
That's something that's profound.
Yeah, and you
– In the world industry, in the boxing industry.
Yeah, and especially now, like, once you're an Olympian, it's like there's way more opportunities once you turn pro. You get better contracts, you get better money, you know, because you already have that, like, you know, that status.
Yes,
like,
the best of the best.
More people want to, you know, sponsor you. It's like Olympian, you know.
Yeah,
anyone could be pro and, like, what are they going to announce them as? It's not that – You know,
so tell us about the proudest moment that you had.
I think it was probably qualifying for the Olympics. I think I remember
watching you on TikTok.
Yeah, I think that was probably the proudest moment because I remember I just worked so hard and obviously struggling with my eating disorder and trying to make weight and you know, traveling consistently. Like, we traveled. I can just name the countries that I traveled to. We traveled to so many countries over the past 2 years, like, and we were constantly away. Like, I actually have no social life, like, no friends. Like, my only friends are my friends in the boxing community. Like, you know, the girls that I travel with and I train with, like, all my friends that I, you know, had in school. I don't, like, you know, it's mutual, but I just don't hang out with them. I had no time for them because every day was, you know, training in the morning, training in the Arvo. When they would ask me, do you want to go out? No, I'm going to training. You know, that was my priority. Yeah. So
that's what it takes to be an Olympian, really, is that you got to give up. Like, and I've heard that before where, like, brothers and sisters have spoken about dedicating themselves to the Olympics. And it's like, it's everything. It's eating.
But
it's
why not
training,
just get married and have kids?
Well, she got married.
You tried that. But no, that's seriously like if somebody says, why all this? What are you doing? Yeah. What? Just get married, have some kids and cook some malfouf and some maranab.
I know. Well, that's where we're at now. So I think now it's like, do I really want to turn pro? You know, like it's like,
okay, so the decision,
do you know what I mean? It's like now it's like,
on.
I could continue.
Next,
like,
Olympics.
I know. That's 4 years. Like, you know, a lot of people, like, obviously that's in my head. Like,
it
you
is?
Know, I'm like, oh, you know, the next Olympics, wow, that would be amazing. But it's like, I've struggled a lot with, you know, just the discipline it takes to be at this level, like the training, honestly, it's actually insane. Like I can't even describe it to you. Like, you know, every day waking up and training in the morning and then you get so tired. Like you can't do anything.
Take us for a day.
So
what time do you start? What does your day start?
So if I'm like, right now it's a little bit chill, but if it's
Olympic, you're training for the Olympics.
Gosh. So coach would get us.
What time do you sleep?
Oh, well, we try to sleep early. Obviously, to get like 8 hours, 10 p.m. 10 p.m. I try, honestly. It's not even that. It depends when I'm in camp. When I'm in proper camp, I try to sleep at 10 p.m. When I'm at home, like, nah.
10 p.m.
Yeah.
sleep.
Yeah, okay. So we sleep and then we're up. Obviously, we need to be up, I think, 6:30 because the first session is at 7 a.m. Do you know what I mean? And like, obviously, it doesn't help with me. So I need to wake up for Fajr and then I'm half asleep. And I want to go back to sleep. So I'm like, I need to wake up again. And then, yeah, we have our first session, which is usually like a light session, just a wake up kind of session, you know, some shadow boxing, and then we go and have breakfast. And then we have our second session like 2 hours later. So that would be, a boxing session, which would go on for like an hour and a half. And then we would do, after that we'll do, it depends. Every day is different. You might train 2 to 3 times a day. You know, and the afternoon would be like a running session. Like
and that's 6 days?
6 days a week.
Six days a week. One day off only.
We'll have like on Thursday. Sometimes coach will do like one session in the morning and then you have the afternoon off. So altogether, I think we do, it depends. Like you, a minimum 11 sessions a week.
Wow.
Yeah, minimum. Like that's like, yeah, that's me normally when I'm not in camp. That's how many sessions I would do regardless.
What's a camp?
In camp is like when you're preparing towards something. Like you, like for example, the Olympics, you know, like.
Like the Rocky Balboa kind of camp.
Yeah, you need a proper camp. You need to make sure you're prepared. You're not always going to be, you know, you got to reach a peak. You know, you can't always be training at that high intense level. Do you know what I mean? Because you're not going to, when are you actually going to peak? You know, you need to perform. You need to time it out. You need to, you know, take up the intensity. You need to like, yeah, you need to calculate it all to know when you're actually going to perform properly. You know what I mean?
I reckon it's one of the best sports. I like, because. Yeah. You know, growing up, I've always like, you know, you aspire to have a body that the Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I think a boxer's body, besides the legs, is a perfect body.
Yeah.
Personally, as a male. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like,
I always loved the boxer's body in the sense of, you know, you gotta be fit.
It's a full body exercise. Like, you know, when you're boxing, you got to run, you could do everything. You mix everything up. Do you know what I mean?
And also the confidence, like you said, it builds up the confidence.
Oh yeah. 100%. Oh, do you know my first 7 fights? I cried walking out of the ring. Do you think I was this confident?
Wow.
I would actually like, before I walk out, I'm like, what am I doing? I'd start crying. I was like in complete tears. I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I go into the ring, and as soon as I fight and I come out, I'm like, yeah, when's my next fight? Like, it's the nerves that you get is like, I can't even describe it to you. Like, it's a feeling like, that's why a lot of people don't, you know, compete. Like, you got a lot of guys that train at the gym, but they'll never go and they'll compete because it's obviously like a pride thing. Yeah. Firstly, they're scared of losing.
Yes.
Because you know how it is as a man. Like,
yeah.
You know,
can't lose.
Oh, you're a loser. You know, they're scared of that. And, yeah, it's
they
just
tell them
yeah.
another level yeah. when you like you said when you're doing competition.
It's yeah,
like those 3 yeah. minutes are long minutes.
Oh, it's honestly it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like even I honestly if I tried to describe it, like you just got to try it. Like it's just it's
how
so
do you,
hard.
How do you put up with the pain? Like and they're like copping those punches, you know. Like I know a lot of like for especially for a female, like you know, especially when you cop a really hard one, you know. Have you like can you take us through like when you've cops are really bad and it's like, how do you bring yourself?
Have you ever been KO'd or no?
No.
Wow,
no.
You're a tough one.
Yeah. I've never even had like a standing 8 count. You know the standing 8 count?
Have you ever broken your nose?
Oh, well, I think I fractured it. So I had to wear like a different headgear to sort of protect it because I've been headbutted and I've had stitches here. I don't know if you can see it on my eyebrows.
Wow.
I had 6 stitches. That was probably my worst pain that I've
pain
experienced.
Pain injuries.
How do you put up with it? Like, what is it in you that keeps you going? Like, undoubtedly, it's... When that hit goes bang, and it's like, how do you mentally stay focused?
Keep fighting.
Keep fighting. What is it in you? Where do you find that substance in you?
You just got to stay patient. You can't let it really get to you. Like for me, it's like, okay, they got me. I'm going to get them back. Like just stay calm, you know, have that patience. And for me, it's just... I don't know. Like I did, obviously it hurts, like, you know, but we do wear a headgear, like, you know, but I just like... I just know I got to fire back and I got to come back and be better. Like, I got to throw that last punch. Do you know what I mean? If you hit me with something, I'm going to come back and I'm going
to
hit you.
So that's what you're saying to yourself? Is that how you talk to yourself?
Yeah. And I G myself up in there. I get my coaches, like, they're screaming at me. Like, I got my female coach as well. She's like, Tina, like, throw the right hand. And I was like, yeah, like, you G me up. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's good. Yeah. It's amazing. It's what works for you.
Yeah. I like someone like G'ing me up. Like, if someone's like, yeah, throw the jab. Like, I mean, I have that push and I have that drive. You know, I can mentally push myself, you know, but when you have someone else like trying to push you as well, like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like them like believing in you and giving you the proper advice and like, do it, you can do it. You know, when they have that, you know, it's like someone supporting you. Like, yeah, we love someone who supports us, who like, you know.
Who's been your biggest supporter?
Probably my sisters, I think. Wow. Yeah. My younger sister, she's been to like all my fights.
Wow.
Yeah, she's been to like literally every single fight.
What's her
name? Diana.
Diana. So, go, Diana. Yeah. Shout out to Diana.
And, I remember one time my older sister didn't, like, I think they had a fight, and then my older sister didn't come to my fight. I was like so angry. I was like, Diana's the real one.
Subhanallah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's been, they even came to Paris to watch me with my sisters and my mom. Yeah, and I was like shocked because I didn't, it gets so expensive to get there, you know, during that period.
Imagine,
for the flights, accommodation, and they, you know, I didn't think anyone would come, and they, you
that
know,
they
went out of their way and to come and support me.
Every one of us, I think, we need support sometimes, subhanAllah. And it's amazing. I think, like you said, like, couldn't believe they did that, but how much like that means to us when they're there, and like it just elevates us.
Yeah, you know, honestly, when people like it, that's why sometimes I hate fighting in Sydney, because it upsets me when like people don't, you know, because it means so much to me. I've literally been training, you know, so hard for this moment, like, and then people are like, oh, I can't come to your fight. Like, I don't even expect, like, I'm like, yeah, come to my fight. Like, I won't, like, you know, really make a scene out of it. But then when they don't come, it's like they know how much effort I've put into it. Like, you know, so I'm like, I don't want to fight in Sydney because I don't want to get upset with anyone. Just let me fight overseas, which I have been. I haven't fought in Sydney in over 3 years, I think. I haven't fought. Yeah. Oh, I've fought in, like, Brisbane, Adelaide, you know.
It's so amazing. Like even Bilal Assad, we've had Bilal Assad, and we had some guest speakers that are local. Like Bilal Assad internationally is like, wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've got people calling from Dubai. Oh, you actually know Bilal Assad?
Yeah.
Like, in that kind of, you know, mashallah alayh. But locally, he's like, no big deal.
That's literally like how I feel.
You know what I mean? SubhanAllah. Yeah. Like, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Like,
even Mufti Mink, apparently. Yeah. Mufti Mink in his place.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, he's nobody.
That's how it is. Even like when I went to America, like, I feel like a lot of the boxers and like the people that you see around, like, they're not really like, everyone's just used to them, you know. It's like, but that's how it is. Like, you know, when you, I don't know, you just know
locally,
someone. Yeah,
we don't appreciate.
Like,
what
you don't, yeah. And then, but overseas, like even when I went to Dubai, wow, I felt like a superstar. I'm telling you, like they wanted me on. Like I went on the Chris Fade, you know, Chris Fade.
Yeah.
Went on his radio show, like
that's right,
and obviously he's like the biggest radio show in Dubai. And
Dubai,
I was like, oh, you know, they really wanted me on. Like, and I went on like another TV show, Love in Dubai. Like they had so many people hitting me up, like telling me come to my restaurant, like, you know, on us. Like I had, I got offered a job. Like I got you know, come to our gym, like, we want you to work here. Like, there were so many opportunities there. And I was like, wow. And I feel like you come here and you're like, hey. Like, it's just like, you know.
Is that you, Tina?
Yeah, it's like, hey, Tina, you're going for a jog.
And wow, it's, you know, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it
from TikTok?
Why didn't you move to Dubai?
It's funny, actually. I actually booked to go end of this year to Dubai, okay?
Mashallah.
So I was going to go for a month just to see how
Suss it
is,
out.
Right? So I cancelled it 2 nights ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I just
exclusive.
Yeah, I this is literally like,
why?
I didn't know if I really wanted to go. I still don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like at this stage, it's like, you know, I've worked so hard for the Olympics and I had that one goal in my mind and it was like, I didn't look anything past it. You know,
Mashallah.
I didn't think, like, to me, like, winning gold meant everything,
Allah,
you know, and I truly believed in myself. Like, I had a mindset coach, like, I thought I was going to win, you know, thought I was going to be set for life. You know, I'm winning that medal. There's no one going to beat me, you know? And then after I came back, I became completely lost, like lost. Like, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, you know, what now? Like, do I even want to compete? Do I want to make all these sacrifices? I just want to be a normal person.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, it was just like, I just want to be,
I could see, obviously, from just listening to you, mashallah, like when you have something you're focused on, you give her your all.
Yeah, I'm like that with everything.
And now you're trying
she's
to
find, a laser. Yeah. She's a laser.
You're trying to find laser now,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so like I was
a
makeup.
You're not a half-assed kind of
No. I was doing makeup while I was doing boxing as well. So I was a makeup artist. Everywhere I've worked, like I used to work at a superannuation company as well, a call center. And I worked for the tax office too, call center. And I was the best worker. Like I would like,
you give it 100%.
I always get achievement awards. Yeah. Like I'm just very driven.
Where did that come from? Where did that giving 100%? Because we say, especially about our business and with the things we do with the youth and the leadership retreat, we tell the youth, give it 100%. As long as you can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just give it 100%. Leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. It's meant for you. Where do you think that comes from? That giving that 100%, whatever you touch.
I think for me, it's just, thinking about it now, I thought it's actually, you know, finding your passion. And then when you know you have that passion, you just want to give it everything. You know, when you enjoy something, you want to give it everything. But then I was thinking, like, when I worked at the call centers, it's not like I really liked answering phone calls, you know. Yeah. But I'm thinking about it, I don't know. I just wanted to be the best. Like, I think I just had that drive just naturally. I don't know what it's from. I think it's just maybe it's runs in the family or something. When my dad with sports, I just I don't know where I got it from, but I've just been. I think the independency as well. Growing up, like,
so you've lived on your own for a while now.
Now I live with my mum. So yeah, my mum's moved in with me, and I live with her. So my mum's beautiful. Like, we have
just
a
little
relationship. Now it's my auntie too. The whole family. I'm like my mum's sister. So my mum's.
We're living
sister.
With Olympia.
We've made it.
Yeah. No. So I live with my mum. I was living with myself for a year, and this is where I was so depressed. I feel like you need a good family. You need people around you, especially like.
Yeah. No, subhanAllah, look, it's amazing. Like, I can see your laser focus. Mm. Like, once you turn on that laser, you can see, mashallah. Because even watching you through social media, I honestly watching you, believe that you were going to get, like, gold. Like, I said, mashallah. Like, and we're making dua for you, like, inshallah. But
yeah, we watched your whole journey. That terrible food.
Yeah, yeah. What terrible food?
Because you've halal, you were saying, it was terrible food. They should feed us a bit better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. But we can see that. But I think that there's a lot more to Tina that we haven't unraveled still.
Yeah.
I think we really want to dig a little bit deeper. We want to dig a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Go for it. Let's go for it.
So we want to know, in your heart of hearts, where was that point where you said, I can't do this anymore, I'm giving up? When was that moment?
Ooh,
like, there must be a moment in us that, because every one of us, I think, have come to the moment where we said, I can't do this anymore. Mm. I'm over it, I'm done with this, it's too much work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't dedicate myself anymore and I failed.
Mm.
So I can't do this anymore. Mm.
So I feel like I never have that attitude. Like, I feel like I've had many losses. I've had multiple losses in a row. Do you know what I mean? Even leading up to the Olympics, and I could have just given up, and it's not something that I feel like, for me, you need to keep pushing, for you to be successful, you need to go through those failures. You can't you can't expect to have success straight away.
You've got a good mindset.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you need,
she's got a mindset coach, you said. She's got a normal boxing coach, mindset coach, eating coach.
Not anymore, so I've had multiple losses, and if I was to just give up from those losses and, from all the hate that I copped, and, you're a loser, you're not going to make it, you're not even a boxer, I could have just stopped and I could have just given up. And I didn't, because I believed in myself, and I know what I was capable of, and I know that if I kept going that I could, really make it somewhere. And that's when I qualified for the Olympics. That's why it was very, very important for me, and, I was the best in Oceania. So for me to win that, it was just unbelievable, and I knew, and a lot of people obviously didn't think that I would win it. People don't, even though you're the best in Australia, or like, it's not easy to qualify for the Olympics, I've always just had that mindset, even after winning, after losing, I always just told myself, just don't give up. Like, who cares what people say? Like, they're always just going to say something about you anyways. And honestly, what have they achieved? You have so many people on social media, and people are worried on, all those comments. Like, even like when I post my sister, sometimes people will make like like rude comments or like, oh, like, why doesn't your sister wear the hijab? Or like they say stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And my sister can't hack it.
Take me off and post.
Yeah, she's like, delete that post. She's like, you know what? I'm not going on your social media anymore. And you know what I mean? Like, and imagine like someone as myself, how out there I am and how much, you know, criticism I cop daily, and especially losing a fight. And like, that's like, wow, you're a loser. You know, how many times I've gotten that, oh, you know, you can't even box. Like, you look at you, you got bashed. You know, you get that many times. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's, you know, my pride as well. Like, I want to feel like a winner. I want to feel like I'm achieving something, you know? And I feel like I didn't let that stop me. And I don't think that you should let anyone stop you, because as long as you believe in yourself and you have that goal, you just keep pushing towards it, and eventually it will pay off. And if it doesn't pay off, then it's, you know, all a part of Allah's plan.
Can I ask as well, being a Muslim, obviously, how is that journey? Like, you know, like I know you're representing Islam, so, you know, we've got our Muslims that are on this side and anywhere between.
Yeah.
So how do you find that as a challenge? Do you find that, you know, is it your responsibility? Like, you're wearing the hijab, you're representing Islam, who are representing Muslims on the world stage?
Yeah,
does that a burden? Do you feel like sometimes that's a big burden?
It has its moments. Obviously, I feel like I've got to represent myself a certain way. Obviously, you've got like sisters looking up to me, and they see me in the hijab, and they like, wow, you're like, she's where is she right now? Like that could be me one day. So I feel like I do have that responsibility. And it obviously becomes challenging because I'm just an individual at the end of the day, just, you know, we're all human. I'm just trying to be myself. And especially someone who grew up in like a non-religious family, I feel like I didn't really have that, you know, like that role model or, do you know what I mean? Like so it's kind of hard for me to sort of
navigate
as well. So it's like, I'm trying to be a good like Muslim. And then at the same time, I'm just trying to live my life and, you know, but I feel like I like it internationally, and I like it with like my teammates. I feel like I teach a lot of people, like just Islam in general. Like, you know, I'm forced to room with, a lot of the women in my team, and, like, hey girls, like, do you mind? I'm just going to pray, you know? So like I pull out my prayer mat, and I put my jilbab, my skirt on, and I start praying. And like, there's been times where we've had four bunk beds in a room, and all of us are just, so I'm forced to literally just pray right in front of them. And and then I wake up 4 a.m. as well on my alarm, you know. I've gone like
the Muslims getting up again.
I had one of my friends who literally used to get up from my alarm, couldn't go back to sleep. I'd go back to sleep after I pray, and she hated me. She was like, I'm really, really close to her. I've roomed with so many girls, and they're like, oh, but they're so respectful. Like, and they actually get very fascinated, like very, very, very fascinated. Like they find it absolutely beautiful, you know. They think they're like, they tell me, they're like, for you to have that discipline, like to get
amazing.
And they're like, I can see why you're so disciplined in boxing. Like, that's what they tell me. Cause you know, for you to get up 4 a.m, like I could never do it.
SubhanAllah,
you know?
We had a sheikh on the podcast, and she came to Islam at the age of 15, all because she went to Tunisia and heard the adhan. And she said to herself, Muslims get up before the sun to pray to the one that created the sun.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a profound. Yeah. Like, we'd only understand that we are actually worshipping the one that controls everything, and we're waking up before the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before the light of the day, SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
But SubhanAllah, that Dawood, I got a story I got to share. SubhanAllah, my old boss, I used to work for an Aussie, and he caught me once with my leg in the sink doing wudu. So he's walked in, he goes, what are you doing? Why is your foot in the sink? Yeah. And I go to him, I'm making wudu.
Yeah.
I went into, you know, I didn't say ablution. I said wudu, because, you know. He goes, why are you doing voodoo? Who does voodoo with their foot in the sink? Oh my God. And I'm like, I'm washing myself for prayer. He's like, that's too much information. Don't do that again.
I explained to them, like, before I pray, I got to wash my hands, my face. Like, and they're like, they get so interested. Like, they're very intrigued. Like, I love it though. I love explaining it. I love it. I absolutely, like, I had one of the girls, like, in my team who's, a lesbian as well. And she was like, oh, you really got me thinking about like Islam. And I was like, faith. For me to hear that from her, she's like, I've been like searching up about it. And for her to, for her to say that, like, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm actually like, little things that you do, you don't notice how what impact it has on people. But it's just like, at the end of the day, it is dawah.
Mashallah, may Allah, Allah keep you steadfast and bless you, mashallah.
What message of hope would you give Muslim girls out there who are struggling with an eating disorder or struggling with becoming a champion in their field? What message of hope would you give them?
I think it's important to always have support. Always, you know, surround yourself with people who want to see you doing better and providing you with the support that you need. You know, like for someone like myself, obviously struggling with my eating, like I didn't know how bad it was until I actually took a step and thought, hey, I need to see someone about this so I can really discuss why I'm going through this. So I spoke to a psychologist, and you know, taking that step, you think, oh, you're speaking to a psychologist, you know, like you think you've got like mental issues or something. You tell anyone that, you know, they think
it's taboo for Muslims. Well,
Like, oh, you're a psychologist. Like, oh, she's crazy.
She's
not
quite right.
She's not, you know, there. But, you know, sometimes things happen with us we have no control over, and we need the right people around us. We need, you know,
the right advice.
We need the right advice. And that works with anything, even like with sport, you know, you need a right coach. You need the right people around you to help you really excel. And
It's just the best advice, because honestly, I don't know many people that have succeeded in any field that haven't had the right support around them or put themselves.
Right teachers.
You know, having the right teachers or right people that will support them and put that mirror in front of them and say, hey, can you see that?
You
need to change there. You need to fix that. You watch for that. Keep an eye on that.
And sometimes just having that person like believing in you, you know, when you have that, you know, like people supporting you or that person believing in you, I feel like you really get that push and that motivation. And, you know, when you don't have that, sometimes it's hard to even know what you're capable of.
Yeah. 100%. Hanallah. Allah bless you, man. Hanallah. It's an amazing journey, undoubtedly full of wins and losses. And boxing is about, you know, losing and getting up and fighting again another day, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's life. Life is that you're going to get knocked down. You're going to cop the punches. It's going to hurt. You're going to fail. But you have to have the capacity in yourself to say, I'm going to get up.
And the will.
The will to say, I'm going to fight again, even if I lose.
Yeah.
And I think you're at another crossroads, really, what we can see, is, you know, because there's a loss, you know.
Yeah.
And every one of us has losses, you know.
So where did you qualify in the Olympics? Like where'd you get to?
What do you mean? Like, well, at the actual Olympics? So I lost to the silver medalist.
Oh, wow.
So she was from Poland. And for me, it was my first fight. So it was very sad, because she had 5 fights to even win a silver medal. So she had to beat, So I, like, for me, I knew deep down, if I was, you know, to compete with anyone else, I knew that I could have medaled, because I was just so confident, and knowing that she, you know, beat me. And but it's all Allah's plan, you know. Like leading up to this, I was praying tahajjud, like I think for 6 months straight every day. Sometimes I missed it, you know what I mean? But pretty much almost every day for 6 months, I was praying tahajjud, and I was like, you know, that's all I wanted. I wanted to win that gold medal. Wow. Do you know what I mean? And like, that's all I was praying for. I'd get up early, you know, wake my friends up with my alarm, you know, wait for a fajr to go off. And then I lost, you know. That's everything that I wanted. And I knew, like, as upsetting as it was, I know it's, you know, all Allah's plan. And
And that's what's good for us.
100%.
It's amazing how you reflect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah's putting you something and it's good for you.
Yeah, I know there's something going to be better that's going to come out of it, you know. Especially when you're waking up every day, like you're wanting something so bad, you know, and Allah's like, nah, you're not winning a medal, girl.
Today, I think, you know, it's not the right time for you. But you know what? Because you know, even us, like, we've had situations where we know if we won in that business, we wouldn't be here today. You know what I mean? We failed in certain businesses, and Allah diverted us. And I say, loss is a diversion for something that's greater tomorrow.
Yes.
And we've personally felt that. Like, we've 100%. Felt it so many times where we've lost at a certain thing and, you know, it didn't work out. Not to any, you know, we did our best. We tried our best.
And at that time, you think, oh, yes, see, I'm going to do it.
Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah.
And then you look back, you think, thank God, that was a pit hole in the arm.
Yeah, so many situations like that, honestly.
So, I don't doubt, mashallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got to pave the way for you somewhere, inshallah.
Like, I feel like for me, after the Commonwealth Games, I still had that drive. I was like, the Olympics, you know, I need to go to the Olympics. There was nothing that was going to stop me from trying to, you know, qualify. And then like now I feel like, yeah, I'm just at a stage where I'm like, I don't feel like I have that intense drive where, you know, I've been to 2 world championships, a Commonwealth Games and an Olympics, you know, and 3 times national champion. I'm like, okay, I've pretty much done what people could never achieve in their lives. You know, I feel like it's something that I've, you know, I was like, what's next? You know, I could do the next Commonwealth Games, but I feel like then what? Do you know what I mean? Like we always want to chase that high. Like I'm consistently chasing that high. But then even once you achieve it, you're just like, what now? Like, am I just going to be that boxer that's going to be boxing?
I can see the Tina Rahimi gym.
I do. Oh, I have so many people. I'm actually a good coach. I don't want to talk myself up.
Sponsored by the Safi Bros.
Yeah. I think
you got some partners there. Yeah. You didn't even know it.
Yeah. I do love coaching. I love you know, just motivating women, and I feel like I'm really good at, you know, just pushing people to become better. You know, I feel like I'm really good at that. Yeah, I think I'm a good coach, but
inshallah.
It's just, yeah, trying to figure out, I don't know if that's really what I want.
Trying to navigate what you want to do.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
Inshallah.
That's why I like the whole Dubai trip. I'm like, do I want to move to Dubai? Do you know what I mean? You know, you go there for a few months and you suss it out.
It's the Las Vegas in the desert.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, am I going to go there by myself? And, you know, then what, for a month? What if I get, it was sort of my like dreams. I don't know. It was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. But I didn't have advice for anyone who could tell me not to go or to go. Like, I think when you don't have those, like, that proper advice around you, as all those people around you, which I don't, I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm sick of staying in Sydney. I'm going to book Dubai. That was like an impulsive decision.
Inshallah, if you need, we'll connect you with our sister.
We know a few people in Dubai, so if you need to connect there, we're more than
happy. My sister will give it to you, really. Yeah. All right. She always tells us off anyway.
No, she tells us.
Inshallah, we'll definitely connect you with our sister.
Mashallah, thank you very much for sharing. And you've shared a lot with us and appreciate, you know, sharing your vulnerabilities and your losses and your wins. And mashallah, we normally end the podcast on asking our guests to describe themselves in a single, concise I am statement. Well, before we end the podcast, we'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our audience, and remind you to please subscribe so you do not miss out. Please comment so we can improve. Also, if you have any questions of Tina, please put them in the comments and we're more than happy to pass them on. We'll get the answers, don't you worry. And please share with others who will benefit from her story. And please give us a rating on our audio platforms. Jazakumullah khair. And on that note, Tina, I am.
There's more to me than just an Olympian. I am a human who will achieve greater things in life, inshallah.
Well done.
There we go. I don't know what to say.
That's good. I love it. It is quite a deep one to ask.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
So, subhanAllah, we hit all our guests at the end with that.
I was like, don't put me on the spot.
So, alhamdulillah, jazakAllah khair for sharing. Wallah, may Allah bless you. And inshallah, you know, we will have you here again when you're achieving greater heights, not only in sports, but in other avenues.
Figure that out. Yeah.
Inshallah.
Thank you very much for sharing.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.